For a time, I rest in the grace of the world, and I am free. We sought to give order this week, to give order to a disordered world. On Thursday evening, 800 people of faith shared their stories, shared our stories, our concerns, our aspirations for four of the candidates who would be governor. Pastor Lovey of McCullough Homes testified that people there live in fear that their community will be destroyed as redevelopment happens at State Center. Ana Marquez spoke of her fear of deportation, of losing her U.S. citizen children, of losing her family. Randolph Ford spoke about working while having pneumonia. And James Fletcher about the day-to-day struggle for him to live on the outside, living into the best that he believes God has placed in him, that he might mentor youth in East Baltimore and help them not follow the path that he took toward the penitentiary, but rather find a way toward college. 12-year-old Joshua Williams spoke of watching a student being beat up and robbed, with no possibility of the offenders being captured. He told us, "That could have been me." We sought to give order this week, to give order to a disordered world. On Saturday, we met in a couple of cleared lots behind the Dayspring building, and with rake and hoe smoothed out the surface of the lot, pulled out the larger rocks and the bricks and the construction debris, created a neater place where our raised beds would go. We built boxes to add to the ones that already had been constructed, and we placed them in straight rows, simple shapes that would give order to a disordered place. For the women and children whose lives have been affected by homelessness and substance abuse, our boxes and benches and shade trees and annuals and our presence helped give order to a disordered world. We marched too with Johns Hopkins hospital workers, not the doctors and administrators, not the researchers and the nursing staff, but the environmental workers who clear the garbage and clean the floors and the surfaces. The transportation workers who pushed me a few months ago from floor to floor when I needed a CT scan or when I was going to surgery. These are people whose lives are ordered by their labor, but for whom economic insecurity is destabilizing, disordering. One woman spoke of wages so low that she lives on food stamps and lives in a homeless shelter, unable to afford rent and the upfront costs of getting a new apartment. One woman spoke of a lifetime of labor, now still making just about $12 an hour, with aspirations for retiring, and maybe soon, but no sense of how she's going to do it, how she's ever going to be able to afford to retire after a lifetime of being working but poor. We seek to give order where there is disorder. In the Hebrew Bible, the universe begins disordered. When the one who is going to create everything and rule the universe goes about that one's work, doesn't start from nothing. Starts from something. Chaos. Profound disorder. And so this God begins to set things in order, collects the light, and separates the light from the darkness. Collects from the chaos all of the water and separates water above from water below. Pushes up and lets dry land appear. And then begins to populate this universe with different orders of things. And hurls into the sky that which flies, and into the sea that which swims, and then onto the dry land, those of us who crawl. All this ordering, all this separating and organizing is looked at and is called good. Good. Mother's Day is a kind of ordering. A moment when we stop and think of that primary relationship among mammals. Our young are born living, warm-blooded, living kid, and breathing mother. Newborns receive nourishment from mother's breast. This is the order of things for us. It's an essential ordering. And so being a mammal means there's a special relationship largely between mother and child, certainly in the human family, but in the love any ape mother gives to her babies, in the protection and sacrifice that the whale mother gives after she gives birth to her babies. She protects her child against predators and danger. That's what mothers do. Our mammal children are nurtured and grow in larger communities, and I certainly don't want to discredit what men might have to do in the process. But there is something about the relationship between mother and child, for mammals like us, that is primary. And we even give it a name. We call that name love. Mother's love. Mother's love means something to us. And we're the religion about a universal love that is out there, enduring everything and bringing all things into unity, into harmony, into order. There is an order to this little world. Wendell Berry finds peace among wild things. He doesn't mention mammals, but wild things that have their own order. The wooddrake in this little world can indeed rest in his beauty on the water. It's water where other things happen too. He doesn't talk about crocodiles, but he says at least the great heron feeds. Wood drake rests, great heron feeds. The wild things do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. The wild things are detached from the thought of grief just much as those among us who practice Buddhism seek to detach themselves from the thoughts that would otherwise lead to suffering. An order to this little world, resting and feeding, the presence of still water, knowing that beyond the sunlit sky there are stars waiting to reveal their light. Grace, Wendell Berry calls it, and free. How our hearts ache with the story of the religious extremists in Nigeria who have stolen girls from their schools. Taken girls who sought access to what the extremists say no woman needs, education, self-development, ideas larger than the prescribed thoughts and roles of women in the sought-for extreme society which orders things rigidly, ahistorically, medievally, by some perspectives, evilly. Our hearts go out to these terrified girls, these pawns in a larger cultural war, pawns, but human beings. Human beings, too. And so there are human beings around the world that cry, "Give us our girls." Human beings wanting to confront this profound disorder, to seek to find order, to seek maybe to be mothers to these girls. We don't need to go to the other side of the world to find disorder. And so in our own place, we order. In our own place, we nurture. We prove our capacity to care, to empathize, to see the full humanity of all around us. In Nigeria, certainly. In East Baltimore, yes. And even in the pew, sitting next to us, we prove our humanity by the way we are able to show care for one another, interest in one another, support for one another in the lives that we are called to live, in the disorder that might be around us and the disorder that may be within us. We can be the ones who help provide order for us and for ourselves. Give us our girls, we cry. Give us meaning in the lives we live, we yearn. Give us our mothers, our disordered hearts sigh. If I forget you, torn from your classrooms, dragged from villages in the night, and if I forget your murdered brothers, may every sweet memory of my children's childhood wither and be lost to me. May my tongue cling silent when I want to say, "I love you." Ancient mother, hold us to your breast. Show us yourself and let us see ourselves. Let not our tongues be stopped from saying, "I love you." Amen.